In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us kneel. O Holy Ghost, divine Paraclete, Father of the poor, consoler of the afflicted, light of hearts, sanctifier of souls, I adore Thee with the most profound submission, and I repeat 1,000 times with the seraphs who are before Thy throne, Holy, Holy, Holy. I firmly believe that Thou art eternal, consubstantial with the Father and the Son. I hope that by Thy goodness Thou wilt sanctify and save my soul. I love Thee, O God of love. I love Thee more than all the things of this world. I love Thee with all my affections, because Thou art infinite goodness, that dost alone merit all my love. And since insensible as I have been to Thy holy inspirations, I have been so ungrateful as to offend Thee by so many sins, I ask Thee 1,000 pardons for them, and I supremely regret having ever displeased Thee, O Sovereign Good. I offer Thee my heart, cold as it is, and I supplicate Thee to let a ray of Thy light and a spark of Thy fire enter therein to melt the hardened ice of my iniquities. Thou who didst fill the soul of Mary with immense graces and didst inflame the hearts of the apostles, vouchsafe also to set my heart on fire with Thy love. Thou art a divine spirit. Fortify me against evil spirits. Thou art a fire. Enkindle in me the fire of Thy love. Thou art a light. Enlighten me so that I may know eternal things. Thou art a dove. Give me great purity of heart. Thou art a breath that is full of sweetness. Dissipate the storms that my passions raise up against me. Thou art a tongue. Teach me the manner of praising Thee without ceasing. Thou art a cloud. Cover me with the shadow of Thy protection. Thou art the author of all heavenly gifts. I beseech Thee to grant them to me. Vivify me by Thy grace. Sanctify me by Thy charity. Govern me by Thy wisdom. Adopt me by Thy bounty as Thy child. And save me by Thy infinite mercy, so that I may never cease to bless Thee, to praise Thee, to love Thee, at first during my life on this earth, and afterwards to all eternity in heaven. Amen. Glory be to the Holy Ghost forever and ever. Glory be to the Comforter forever and ever. Glory be to the Spirit of Truth forever and ever. Glory be to the Spirit of Grace and Prayer forever and ever. Glory be to the Spirit of Jesus forever and ever. Glory be to the Spirit of the Father and the Son forever and ever. Glory be to the third person of the adorable Trinity, forever and ever. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Today is one of the three great, great feasts of the entire liturgical year. The three greatest feasts of the Church are Christmas, Easter, and today, Pentecost. These are the greatest feasts because they are the feasts that treat most directly and profoundly of the great mysteries of God and our salvation. And these great mysteries of God and our salvation are meant to shape and govern our lives, both in general and also down to the smallest details. You can think a little bit of it as, for example, in the natural world, the sun. Obviously, the sun is important. There's no life without the sun. And it's the sun, or the lack of sunshine, that then determines, in general, what we do or what we don't do. When the sun is shining, well, then we go about our business during the day. The sun is gone, and then we rest and we go to sleep. In a similar way, the great feasts of our Catholic religion are supposed to shape and govern what we do, how we think, how we act. This is especially applicable to Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. Every single day of the year has a direct reference either to Christmas, Easter, or Pentecost. Starting today, all the way until Advent, every single day will have a direct reference to Pentecost. What are some of the great spiritual lessons of Pentecost? Because throughout this time, really again, starting today, through the entire summer, into the fall, all the way basically to the end of November, these spiritual lessons, so to speak, of Pentecost should be shaping our lives, governing our lives, inspiring us what we should do, what we should not do. So what are some of those spiritual lessons of Pentecost? One of them, an extremely important one, is the primacy of the grace of God. The grace of God that comes from heaven, that is not of this world. Throughout all this time then, we should be looking for that help and that grace that comes from above, from the Holy Ghost. As we heard in the Holy Gospel today, Jesus speaking about, "My peace I give you," not the peace that this world gives, but the peace that comes from above. So the grace of God, obviously in today's Holy Gospel, represented by the mighty wind and the tongues as a fire. But other spiritual lessons, the importance of prayer. The apostles gathered together with the Blessed Virgin Mary, praying for that gift of God, praying for God's grace, praying for God's help. Also the importance of the church, and we see today the birthday of the church, but also how central to the life of the church is prayer and holiness. The holiness that the Holy Ghost comes to bring. It isn't primarily a question of activity. We have to be holy. We have to grow in holiness. We have to be faithful to prayer. These are, again, very important lessons of Pentecost. Also, the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The Holy Ghost comes to give us all the graces that our Savior Jesus Christ has won for us on the cross, but they come to us through Mary. The Blessed Virgin Mary is present there, and it is primarily because of her prayers. And around her are gathered the apostles, primarily because of her prayers. She is the great mediatrix of all graces, that the Holy Ghost then comes. She who is full of grace is able to intercede to bring grace upon grace for each one of us. And one final very important spiritual lesson, this is extremely important. I'll briefly mention it today, but it's a great spiritual lesson of Pentecost so that throughout the rest of the year we can grow in our appreciation and in living our daily lives according to these spiritual truths and principles. And that is the importance of purity. A pure mind, a pure heart, and a pure body. The Holy Ghost comes to bring purity, to purify, to sanctify, to bring truth into the minds of the apostles. He's purifying their minds. To make their hearts pure and zealous so that their only interest is the glory of God. And they're ready to go out to the ends of the earth and even die if necessary to proclaim the truth and to proclaim God's love. The Holy Ghost comes to make us pure, to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our bodies, to cleanse our minds. There's so many of the beautiful prayers of the Holy Ghost where this is the petition, praying for purity. This morning I'm going to begin by mentioning to you three reasons why every single Catholic should have a special devotion to the Holy Ghost. Number one, because the Holy Ghost is God. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the adorable Trinity. With the Father and the Son, He is God. One substance. One perfect God. Three divine persons. Thus, just as we adore, honor, and are devoted to the Father and the Son, so we must adore, honor, and be devoted to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is equal to God the Father and God the Son in all things. Like the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost is uncreated, infinite, and eternal. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are equally wise, holy, and powerful. And so put simply, because the Holy Ghost is who He is, namely God, we must have a special devotion to Him as faithful Catholics. The second reason, because of the Holy Ghost's mission, He is the giver of God's gifts. The Latin term for that is Dator Munerum, the giver of gifts. This is how we invoke the Holy Ghost at the very beginning of the sequence of Pentecost, the Veni Sancti Spiritus, which we just prayed and was sung. The Holy Ghost's divine mission is to fill the church and souls, every soul, with the grace which Jesus Christ merited for us by His passion and death. This is His mission. That's why we speak about how His mission is to complete and bring to perfection the mission of our Savior Jesus Christ. What the Holy Ghost does is, again, He's the giver of the gifts of God. The greatest gifts of God are His love and His light, or truth. And that's why we refer to the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of love, the Spirit of divine love, and the Spirit of truth. These are the greatest gifts that the Holy Ghost comes to bring us. He comes to infuse in our hearts charity, the love of God. And He comes to infuse into our minds God's truth. Again, notice, He's coming to purify our hearts, to put true and authentic love there, and to purify our minds, to put the truth there. So we are to be devoted also to the Holy Ghost because of His mission. He's the giver of God's great gifts, especially God's love and God's truth. And we so much need God's love and God's truth. So we have to do our best to be devoted to the Holy Ghost. And the third reason, also the very important one, is we need to be devoted to the Holy Ghost because we are poor. We are poor. And we so desperately need the help of God. Here, when I say that we are poor, this is to be understood especially in terms of virtue, prayer, and love of God and spiritual things. Spiritually, we might say, we're poor. We're very weak. We desperately need the help of God. And that's why we have to be devoted to the Holy Ghost. This is why we invoke the Holy Ghost as Father of the poor. Again, the Latin terms there is Pater Pauperum. And this was at the very beginning, again, of the Veni Sancti Spiritus, the sequence of Pentecost. We invoke the Holy Ghost as Father of the poor. Here the reference is especially those who are spiritually poor. And basically all of us are spiritually poor. If you recognize your spiritual poverty, what are you going to do? Well, you're going to ask for help. You're going to beg for riches, spiritual riches. Hence, devotion to the Holy Ghost. Also in this prayer, in the Veni Sancti Spiritus, there's a beautiful verse where we also pray that without the grace of the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Ghost, there is nothing pure, nothing holy in man. Namely, that man is absolutely poor because he has nothing of what's most important, the holiness of God, the life of God. That's what the Holy Ghost comes to bring us. Listen to the following words of Pope Leo XIII. These are taken from his encyclical letter on the Holy Ghost, Divinum Illud Munus. That's from 1897. And this is what he writes, quote, "We ought to pray to and invoke the Holy Spirit, for each one of us greatly needs His protection and His help. The more a man is deficient in wisdom, weak in strength, borne down with trouble, prone to sin, so ought he the more to fly to him who is the never-ceasing fount of light, strength, consolation, and holiness. Close quote. So here the question is, who among us does not need light, strength, consolation, and holiness? And who of us does not need this in abundance? We're all poor with respect to these. And these are the marvelous gifts which the Holy Ghost brings. Light, strength, consolation, and holiness. And quoting Pope Leo XIII again, quote, "We ought confidently and continually to beg of the Holy Ghost to illuminate us daily more and more with His light and inflame us with His charity. For thus inspired with faith and love, we may press onward earnestly towards our eternal reward." Close quote. We need the truth, and we need to practice charity, love of God and love of neighbor, if we're going to merit an eternal reward in heaven. And we cannot do this alone. We're not going to be able to know and be faithful to the truth and put it into practice by ourselves. We're poor when it comes to the truth. And same thing when it comes to love. We're not going to be able to love God and love our neighbor without the help of the Holy Ghost. That's where we also notice on a daily basis, our poverty when it comes to love. That we love ourselves first, what we call self-love and selfishness. Now I'll mention three great impediments to devotion to the Holy Ghost. I just listed for you three reasons why we should be devoted to the Holy Ghost. Again, because the Holy Ghost is God, because of the mission of the Holy Ghost, and because of our poverty, because how desperately we need the help of God. Now, what are three great impediments to devotion to the Holy Ghost? Why are there so few souls that are truly devoted to the Holy Ghost and that truly love the Holy Ghost and that truly are following the guidance of the Holy Ghost? And pay special close attention also here, because there are a lot of people that speak about the Holy Ghost. There are a lot of people that say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. The Holy Spirit told me to do that. Is it really the Holy Spirit of God? Many, many times it's not. Many times it's one's own spirit, and many times it's the spirit of the world. What are three great impediments then to devotion to the Holy Ghost? Again, pay attention, because if you are not, with the help of God's grace, overcoming these great impediments, then I can guarantee you, you're not being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't matter what you feel or what you think. Because these are three great impediments to devotion to the Holy Ghost. And those three great impediments are: one, pride of intellect; two, inordinate attachment to the things of this world, materialism. We're too attached to all the material things, to all the things of the world. Because the Holy Spirit of God is not of this world. Time and time again we're taught this, both by sacred scripture and by all the great doctors and saints of the church. And number three, sins against purity. Back again to the theme of purity. Three great impediments to devotion to the Holy Ghost: pride of intellect, inordinate attachment to the things of the world, and sins against purity. With regard to pride of intellect, it's so sad the world that we're living in today. So much emphasis on a kind of worldly intelligence and a worldly knowledge. One of the places where you see this is in so many of the nation's universities. I mean, I'd say the nation's universities, where supposedly there's supposed to be a search for knowledge and for truth, and they are cesspools of the mind. And a lot of it's because of the pride of intellect that's there. The professors and those that have doctorates and all kinds of degrees, they think they're higher than everybody else. They think they're the academic elite. And many times they're the farthest away from the truth. And that's why also I would say this. I mean, you have many young Catholic parents that they're more attuned to this and they're more wary of all the different universities, even those that are Catholic in name, because they're worried about, well, are our children truly going to grow in virtue and grow in the truth at these universities, at these secular universities? Beware. What sin does and what the pride of intellect does is it blinds our minds. And if you want to just see a few examples of how blinded minds are today, just think about how almost everywhere you go, especially like we're just talking about universities, there's so little horror for sin. We should be horrified at sin, especially sins against the truth. Like, for example, those that are saying, well, it doesn't matter what religion you belong to because all religions are the same. We should be horrified by that. We should be horrified by sins, for example, against marriage, like the sin of divorce. Where do you find horror for the sin of divorce? I mean, and the one that I would say is the clearest is the sin of sodomy. Where today is there a real horror for the sin of sodomy? I mean, you couldn't ask for clearer examples of minds that are totally blinded. Pride of intellect. Man who thinks he knows so much. Who thinks he owns the truth and knows the truth and thinks he can change the truth. So it's a great impediment to devotion to the Holy Ghost. Inordinate attachment to the things of this world. This is why it's so important that we continue to do our best and ask for the help of the Holy Ghost. That we practice fasting, mortification. 1 Corinthians 2:12, quote, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are given us from God." Close quote. If you're filled with the spirit of the world, impossible for you to be filled with the spirit of God. They are opposed. St. Paul teaches this time and time again. We'll hear this one more time in Sins Against Purity. I'll just read to you right now two quotes from Sacred Scripture, inspired Word of God, the Holy Ghost speaking, St. Paul. And here we see the opposition between the work of the Holy Ghost, who is all holy, all pure, and sins against purity. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20, quote, "Fly fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Or know you not that your members are the temple of the Holy Ghost, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a great price. Glorify and bear God in your body." Close quote. I encourage you, meditate on these inspired words of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20. And the other one, Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 and 19 to 25. Quote, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another. Now the works of the flesh are manifest: fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, envies, murders, and drunkenness. They who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is charity, joy, peace, patience, benignity, goodness, longanimity, mildness, faith, modesty, continency, chastity. They that are Christ's have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Close quote. Remember those words of St. Paul, and again, inspired by the Holy Ghost, Galatians chapter 5. They that are Christ's, we could say they that belong to the Holy Ghost, they that follow the Holy Ghost, have crucified their flesh with the vices and concupiscences. It is not inconsequential It is not inconsequential and it is not unrelated that today, within the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, that you see so many sins against purity that are kind of festering and coming up to the surface. God only knows how much is underneath the surface. Not unrelated to how far away the hierarchy in many ways has strayed from truly being faithful to the Holy Ghost and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Sins against purity, a great impediment to devotion to the Holy Ghost and to true fidelity to the Holy Ghost. I'll finish this morning by just emphasizing to you a few things about the Holy Ghost. Because truly, the person and the work of the Holy Ghost, this is something that's very mysterious. Even just what I mentioned. There's no way I could explain this in 5 minutes. I certainly couldn't even explain it in a sermon of 30 minutes. I wouldn't even be able to explain it hours and hours. You might ask, well, how is it possible, Father? The Holy Ghost is the soul of the Catholic Church, and He is. There's no question about that. The Holy Ghost is the soul of the Catholic Church. He guides and protects the Church. He will preserve the Church from error. Well, how can that be? And then at the same time, we see the terrible crisis that is overwhelming the Catholic Church. And both are true. How to explain it? I'm not quite sure. It's a mystery. But hopefully it's obvious to all of us that the vast majority of people within the Church today, and we're also talking about the hierarchy, they're not following the Holy Spirit of God. They're doing their own thing. Spirit of the flesh and the spirit of the world. But don't get too discouraged and don't leap to the conclusion and say, all is lost then. The Holy Catholic Church is no longer the true Church of Christ. No, it is. Here you're beginning to see some of the mysterious nature of the Holy Ghost and His work. But just so that you get a sense of this mystery about the Holy Ghost, listen once again to the words of Sacred Scripture. The words of the Holy Ghost Himself. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Quote, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what things God hath prepared for them that love Him. But to us God hath revealed them by this Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Close quote. The Holy Ghost searcheth the deep things of God. An incredible mystery. The fact that the Holy Ghost dwells in the souls of the just, those that are in a state of grace, the Holy Ghost is there dwelling. And because the Holy Ghost is there dwelling in those souls, so is the entire Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, if there is an incredible mystery, that's it. His work is mysterious. In order to better understand, remember this, because this is what I'm concluding with. In order to better understand the mystery of the Holy Ghost and His mission, and then consequently be able to grow in our devotion to Him, because we're appreciating more and more the incredible perfection, the infinite goodness that the Holy Ghost is, and all the marvelous works of His grace that He's operating, that then we'll grow in our devotion. But in order to better understand the mystery, then what can we do? Because as we're saying, it's a profound mystery. Look to the prayers of the Church. Because the Holy Ghost Himself has inspired these great prayers. And I'm going to draw your attention particular to one prayer. This prayer is found in the Rocolta. Hopefully most of you know what the Rocolta is. The Rocolta is a great prayer book of the Church where it's a gathering, a compilation of her greatest prayers. Well, listen to the prayer from the Rocolta. This is number 290 of the Rocolta. It's a short prayer. I'll read it to you right now in its entirety. Come, Holy Ghost, sanctifier all-powerful, God of love, Thou who didst fill the Virgin Mary with grace, Thou who didst wonderfully transform the hearts of the apostles, Thou who didst endow all Thy martyrs with a miraculous heroism, come and sanctify us. Illumine our minds, strengthen our wills, purify our consciences, rectify our judgments, Set our hearts on fire and preserve us from the misfortune of resisting thine inspirations. Amen. Notice how this prayer begins, because it's telling us about the mystery of the Holy Ghost. It begins, "Come, Holy Ghost." And if you look at the first two verses, just the first two verses of the sequence of Pentecost that we just prayed, the Veni Sancti Spiritus, the word Veni in Latin, four times in just the first two verses. Come, 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 come. Remember this, because I cannot explain to you the mystery of the Holy Ghost. I cannot explain to you all the marvelous ways that He is working in spite of those souls that are rejecting His inspirations and living in sin, in mortal sin. But one thing that we do know is that we must pray and pray and pray for the Holy Ghost to come. Come, we need you. We need thee. That's what our Blessed Mother and the Apostles were doing in the days leading up to Pentecost. Come, Holy Ghost. The other great prayer of the Catholic Church, her two great prayers to the Holy Ghost, are the Veni Sancti Spiritus, today the Pentecost sequence, that will also be prayed every single day of the octave of Pentecost. So for eight solemn days, the Church is going to be praying, Veni Sancti Spiritus, come Holy Spirit. The other great prayer of the Catholic Church, which for example she prays at the ordination of priests, is the Veni Creator Spiritus. Again, come, that word Veni, come Creator Spirit. This is why Jesus calls the Holy Ghost Paraclete. We find that also in today's Gospel. In today's Gospel, Jesus calls the Holy Ghost Paraclete. The Greek word parakletos is often translated as comforter or helper. But literally, what parakletos means is one called to the side of another. Remember that. One called to the side of another. What this very name is telling us, it is telling us that we always need to call the Holy Ghost to come to our side. We have to call, ask, come, come, come. It's so important that we remember this and that we put this into practice in terms of devotion to the Holy Ghost. He is one who is called to our side to help us in everything. We cannot do anything good. We can't do anything virtuous or avoid doing evil without the help of the Holy Ghost. The next words of that prayer from the Rakolta 290, come, Holy Ghost, sanctifier, all-powerful, God of love. That's who the Holy Ghost is. He is the one who sanctifies us. He makes us holy. He's the sanctifier, all-powerful. He comes to unite our souls to God. He dispenses the graces which the merits of Jesus Christ have won for us. And it is the Holy Ghost who, by His graces, He prepares us for sanctification. And then in the sacraments, that's why the sacraments are so important, because the Holy Ghost is there. And then in the sacraments, He truly sanctifies us. And what sanctifies us? What makes us holy? The Holy Ghost. But God's love and God's truth. The more you grow in your love of God, the holier you become. The more faithful you are to God's truth, and the more you live according to God's truth, the holier you become. And this is what the Holy Ghost comes to do. He comes to sanctify. And that's why that prayer from the Rakolta, it's a beautiful prayer. After it makes references to how the Holy Ghost has worked marvels of grace in the Virgin Mary and the Apostles, we pray again, come and sanctify us. That's kind of the summary of the mystery of the Holy Ghost. Come, you have to pray and ask Him, come, come, come. He comes to sanctify us and make us holy. I'll read to you right now a very brief prayer by St. Augustine. He's praying to the Holy Ghost. And notice what he prays. He's praying for holiness. Because that's what the Holy Ghost comes to do. He comes to sanctify us. He comes to make us holy. He comes to purify us. To separate us from the dark and filthy ways of the world. And to make us new by His purity, by His holiness, by His light. This is what St. Augustine prays. Breathe in me, O Holy Ghost, that my thoughts may all be holy. Holy thoughts. Sometimes do you have unholy thoughts? Pray and ask for the help of the Holy Ghost. St. Augustine continues, act in me, O Holy Ghost, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Ghost, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Ghost, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Ghost, that I always may be holy. Amen. So we're praying to the Holy Ghost, come and sanctify us. Come and make us holy. And remember that in many of the prayers to the Holy Ghost, I won't refer anymore to Rakulta 290, but it's there in the prayer that I just prayed, Rakulta 290. And you'll hear it again. I'm going to conclude with one final prayer to the Holy Ghost. You're going to hear this again. In prayer after prayer of the Catholic Church, her most beautiful prayers to the Holy Ghost, she's making specifically three great petitions to the Holy Ghost. So, if you forgot the three reasons, I gave you three reasons why you have to be devoted to the Holy Ghost. Maybe you forgot those already. I also told you three great impediments to the Holy Ghost. If you forgot those two, hopefully you didn't, because the pride of intellect, materialism, attachment to the world, and sins against purity. But if you forgot those threes, don't forget these last three, because these are real simple. The three great petitions that the Catholic Church raises up to the Holy Ghost when she's saying, come and sanctify us. Come and make us holy. There are three specific things she's always praying for, and it's this. Illumine our minds. Bring the truth into our minds. Because again, we're very poor and stubborn when it comes to that. We want to follow our own truth. We want to make up our own truth. We want to change and adapt the truth to modern times. That even happens at the very highest levels of the church, namely the Pope. So, a great petition. Illumine our minds. You could think, make my mind pure. Inflame our hearts. Make my heart pure. Put the love of God in my heart. So those are the great petitions. Illumine our minds, inflame our hearts, strengthen our wills so that we'll do the right thing. We know the right thing to do. Our will is weak. Strengthen our will. And remember this so that you can pray this. After everything I've said today, take with you at least, Holy Ghost, come and sanctify us. Come and make me holy. I need your help. I'm poor. And specifically ask Him, illumine my mind, inflame my heart, come into my mind, come into my heart, strengthen my will. Change what is there that is not of God into what is of God. And here's the final prayer to the Holy Ghost, a prayer of the Catholic Church. You'll notice all these things, these different elements that we've mentioned are present there. The prayer. O Holy Ghost, I adore Thee and acknowledge that I can do no good without Thee. Grant that I may participate in those gifts which Thou didst communicate to the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Apostles. Take from my heart whatever is not pleasing to Thee, and make of it a worthy dwelling place for Thyself. Illumine my mind that I may see and understand the things that are for my eternal good. Inflame my heart with pure love of Thee, that it may be cleansed from the dross of all inordinate attachments. Strengthen my will, that it may be made conformable to Thy divine will, and be guided by Thy divine inspiration. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.